This is James Smith from Dalworth Clean. We go back with Neil Sperry since the early 80s. We welcome you to another hour of Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening. Once again, here's our friend, Neil Sperry.
Thank you, James, very much, and thank you for tuning us in today. We hope we'll be a regular part of your weekend gardening activities every Sunday, 8 until 11. Been doing this a long time, and for the last 15 years or so, every Sunday about this time, we've had Steve Huddleston, the senior horticulturist from the Fort Worth Botanic Garden, join us. And guess what? He's here today. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Appreciate you joining us. I got to you faster than usual. You didn't get all your throat clearing done. Appreciate your Martin Luther statue photo. That's what I was trying to say. You sent from one of your visits to Germany. That's always cool. Thank you for that. And you're going to talk about some autumn things going on at the Fort Worth Botanic Garden in terms of the plants and events, too. Tell us.
Well, exactly. First of all, I think the most outstanding plant in the garden this week is the fall aster. Neil, this is a perennial that blooms this time of the year, and it gets about 2 feet tall, 3 feet wide. And then when it bursts into bloom, I mean, you can hardly see the foliage. These mounds of, they're just absolutely covered with these light blue lavender flowers, daisy-like flowers with a yellow center. This is a perennial that should be sheared by 1/3 in May, to create a dense mound that will bloom heavily in the fall.
To keep it from getting lanky.
Exactly. But, yeah. I mean, they're gorgeous. We have some in front of the garden center. We have them elsewhere in the garden. It's really a nice addition to the fall landscape.
Steve, we have a few salvias that persist and bloom in the fall and a couple of other things, but by and large, this is a really unusual color for fall landscaping. Normally, we think about plants like the next one you're going to mention in a moment and chrysanthemums and other things with their oranges and yellows in the fall. To have a lavender blue in the fall is just really special. Neat thing about fall aster. Couple of things. Number one, this is an aster that actually grows in Texas. There aren't a lot of them. And secondly, this is a plant that you hardly notice in the landscape until it blooms. Its little leaves are tiny, and it just all of a sudden, oh my gosh, look over there. It really is pretty, isn't it? And the butterflies love it.
Yes, they do.
All right, so I helped you on your sales pitch. We'll all sell all the nurseries out now with fall asters, and then you're going to turn the color wheel a little bit, spin it, and see where it ends up. What do you have?
Well, it's yellow this time, and this is Mexican mint marigold. It also is blooming now. In fact, we recommend it in combination with the fall aster because the two bloom at the same time, and they make excellent companions. Mexican mint marigold is a perennial that gets about 3 feet tall. The tops of the plants are covered with one-inch wide golden yellow flowers now. The foliage smells like licorice. And the two, you know, look really good together, the fall aster and the Mexican mint marigold.
Mexican mint marigold does not really look like marigolds that people are used to at all. I think there are a lot of people, probably 9 out of 10, would not even, if on first seeing it, would not think of it as a marigold. Do you shear that one? You have to shear the fall aster. Do you shear that one at all to keep it compact? I don't imagine.
We typically don't.
Yeah, I don't either. And a beautiful plant. And once again, the monarchs, as they migrate through, love that one. It's just, it is a favorite plant. And that smell is great. Not quite as winter hardy as the fall aster, which is totally reliable.
Right.
So, but again, I'm in the hinterland in my garden, and you're in a civilized urban area. So there's the difference. Fall festival. If I want to go to a fall festival on a beautiful fall Sunday afternoon, where do I go?
The Japanese Garden. And today is the second day of our fall festival. It runs today from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is an opportunity to celebrate Japanese culture and the serene beauty of the 7.5-acre Japanese Garden. The festival features traditional Japanese dance, taiko drummers, martial arts, swordsmanship, bonsai, ikebana, the tea ceremony, children's activities, an art show and sale, pottery demonstration and sale, and a sushi bar. And all of this just for $5 for adults, $3 for children 4 through 12, and it's free for those 3 and under.
All right, and it's beautiful, and take quarters with you because the kids will want to have you feed the fish, and the whole garden is just beautiful. Let's see, I better not say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's the prettiest part of the Fort Worth Botanic Garden. I'm sorry, had to say it.
It is beautiful.
Well, the neat thing about it is that you guys and your predecessors took, I was in the Metroplex when the Japanese garden was developed, and it had been just a rock quarry and a waste area, and to turn it into such a beautiful garden, it's just beautiful. All right, how does somebody find all of this?
Well, we are just north of I-30 on University Drive across from Trinity Park.
All right, and that's easy. And that's just a couple miles west of downtown Fort Worth off I-30. And what is the website?
That is fwbg.org.
All right, and if somebody is out and about and just wants to call the hotline, that's a 24-hour hotline, what number is that?
That number is 817-871-7686.
Steve, I appreciate you very, very much. Thank you for the great reports and for all that you do, my friend.
Well, thank you.
Talk to you soon. Steve Huddleston, Senior Horticulturist at the Fort Worth Botanic Garden, sponsored by Dalworth Crawl Space. You say, well, what on earth is Dalworth Crawl Space? I think that is a very legitimate question. What they do is not create crawl space. They make it livable. If you have a house that has air in between the house and, I'm just going to call it dirt, soil, dirt. By the time it's been there a while, it is dirt. It's not soil any longer. It's got all kinds of stuff growing on it, mold and mildew and dirt. Well, Dalworth Crawl Space, a part of Dalworth Restoration, seals that all off from the rest of your house. Now, Dalworth Crawl Space has a solution. It's called Clean Space Encapsulation. And if you go to their website of dalworthrestoration.com and then click on the Dalworth Crawl Space part, you are going to say, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. That is such a good thing to do. You need to look at it. So if you have a pier and beam home, if you have any kind of a, if you have a basement, there are a few of them. If you have anything where there is soil beneath your house and open space, this is the way. Call Dalworth Crawl Space and let them show you what they can do. Let them come to your home. Look at their website, dalworthrestoration.com. It's a part of the Dalworth Clean family. dalworthrestoration.com. The number that you call is 214 or 817. And then 267-8433. That is the main number to all of the Dalworth family. 267-8433, dalworthrestoration.com for Dalworth Crawl Space.
Hi, I'm Steve Barrett of Arborological Services. Once again, here's our friend, Neil Sperry.
Thank you, Steve. And we go right back to our phone lines. We have a couple people who have been waiting a good while, and we'll try to get both of them before we take our next break. And I'm starting out at a disadvantage because I'm a little late anyway. So I'm going to try to help. June in Fairview, where have you been, girl?
Well, I don't know. I've been busy.
You used to call me all the time, and I thought, man, she hates me. She hadn't called forever.
I've moved to a smaller property, but what I'm calling today about is about two lorapetalums, the purple diamond that you mentioned mm-hmm. earlier, mm-hmm. to replace I can't remember. For some reason, that
doesn't matter.
Is escaping
doesn't matter.
Me.
Yeah.
What my question is, I was going to plant these today. On the tag, it says acidic, moist, well-drained, humus-rich soil.
Right.
Obviously, that's not what I have here. What do I use to amend that soil when I, you know, backfill that?
That's soil? Why I added into the prepared ad copy that I was given that we need to plant them in pretty much the same conditions, June, that we would give azaleas. So what lorapetalums need is morning sun, afternoon shade, and then a very highly organic planting mix. And I would recommend a half Canadian peat, sphagnum peat moss, and half pine bark mulch, and none of the native soil. There isn't a lot of soil in all of Fairview, and that there is you know, above the rock is pretty alkaline, very alkaline, and so maybe just adding above it or taking out some and replacing it with that mix would be what you'd need to do.
Oh, okay. So, in other words, using something like the composted cotton burrs wouldn't do it.
Well, that's not very acidic.
It
doesn't, yeah. I guess they could be added in. I wouldn't add them in for an azalea mix. Lorapetalums are gently more forgiving than azaleas, but what we find with lorapetalums typically in the black clay soil is that without that kind of heroic soil preparation, they begin to show iron deficiency after 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason that we need to give them every possible chance we can. Even then, there may be a life expectancy of 10 or 15 years, like there is with azaleas. It's not the end of the world. They're beautiful plants.
Well, I'll be lucky if I make it that long.
So I know the feeling.
Fine.
There are those days, aren't there? June, I am so glad you called, and I hope that helped.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
so
my
much.
friend. All right. Let's go to Robert in Winters, Texas. Robert, how are you today?
I'm great, Neil. Big fan. Enjoy your show.
I appreciate your call very much. I looked up Winters when I was in a break, and is your football team the Winters Blizzards?
That's correct.
I love it. That's one I hadn't heard before. I love that.
All right. Yeah.
So how can I help you?
Well, I have a group of bougainvilleas I've had for started them last year. Planting. I just love that plant down at our horse pen where we sit around, and I lost them last year because of the freeze. And I went right back and put them right back in the ground this year. Is there any way I can protect them? Am I allowed to prune them close to the crown, like to the ground, and cover them with mulch? Will that?
Yeah, but I try that or try putting something over the top. Cut them back maybe to – I don't want to encourage you. What I'm recommending I don't think is going to work either, but let's give it a try. If you were to cut them back after a light killing frost, if you were to cut them back to 12 inches, leave a little bit of the stem, and then put tree leaves up over them or compost or pine bark mulch or something up over that stem and keep it in place so it doesn't wash away or blow away in the wintertime. I know I'm being hopeful when I say wash away. but hold the mulch over the top of the crown. I think you're still swimming upstream with a swift current because the bougainvilleas are zone 10 plants. They just can't handle any freezing weather. And when you get north of San Antonio, it's pretty improbable that they'll survive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I might just have to suck it up and replant every year.
So. Yeah, they grow so briskly.
They do. They're so beautiful.
The other thing you could do would be grow them in containers and then put the containers in protection somewhere. I have a bougainvillea. Right. The one I have is Raspberry Ice, which is a variegated one that stays much more compact. And I've had it for 25 years in the same, two pots. I repotted it. And I prune it. It's a very pretty little. It's actually more for foliage than it is for the flowers anymore.
Oh well. So all right. Well, I'll give that a try. Nothing to lose. So.
I'm glad you called, and I appreciate your patience on waiting on me.
Have
a great day. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. All right, that's fun. Let me tell you right now about the offer that is expiring. It is the finale of our Texas Garden Calendar pre-production offer. I give you the best price of the year when we're preparing the calendar because that way, if I have your order ahead of time, I know it's a sold calendar. I take no risk that way. I add it to the list, and we turn that list into the printer, say, here's how many we need. And we print that, and I have to print some extras, but I take a risk on those. And there have been a couple years where I've taken some of those to the recycle center. That doesn't feel good. So that's why I give a better deal ahead of time. You will save if you will call today before 11 as we wrap up this offer. I have turned in all of my work to the graphic design artist. It all goes to the printer tomorrow. And sometime in the next few days, we're going to have to commit to a print count. And when I do, that's when the price goes up. $36.95 is what you pay for this entire offer. It's the calendar. It's got a beautiful calendar, my 30th annual. All of the information of when to plant and prune and fertilize and spray all the plants in your landscape and garden. 10,000 words, 60,000 to 65,000 characters in this, in other words, letters in this thing, if you count by that kind of count, and a lovely calendar and a one-year new or renewal subscription to the best regional gardening magazine in America. All of that satisfaction guaranteed to every penny for just $36.95 and $3 postage on the calendar. Price will never come back down to that price again once we go to press. So call today while you can get the lowest price. Call before the price goes up. 1-800-752-GROW. 1-800-752-GROW. The calendar alone will save you the total price of all of that in good decisions made. 1-800-752-4769.
Fall is a season of unpredictable weather. It could be wet, it could be cold, and that holds your foundation hostage. Hi, this is Neil Sperry for Advanced Foundation Repair, leaders in the foundation repair industry. If you're concerned about your foundation, call the pros. The home inspection is free. The estimate is free. Should you need the repairs, they're guaranteed for a lifetime. Advanced Foundation Repair, 214-333-0003, foundationrepairs.com.
All right. Thank you, kind sir. Let me tell you right now about the Dallas Arboretum. This is an ad that I have chosen to give to the Arboretum to say thanks for letting me come out and take photographs and just to be a part of the Dallas Arboretum for all of these years. And I want to tell you several things that you need to know about the Dallas Arboretum. First of all, if you have not experienced the Chihuly glass exhibit yet, you need to see it and you need to go at night. And yes, you're hearing right. It's been extended. It's been extended on through December 31. Hallelujah. Chihuly nights in November and December are 6 to 9 p.m. All of the information is at dallasarboretum.org, and you need to buy your tickets ahead of time. Don't wait until December. Don't take a chance. Get out and see it. It's beautiful. They also, for their fun family weekend on Sunday, October 28 today, that would be a magician, a petting zoo, face painting from 11 until 3, trick-or-treating throughout the garden at each of the small houses of great artists from 12 until 4 today. It will be a wonderful afternoon to go to the Dallas Arboretum. You can see the Chihuly glass works in the daytime and then make the commitment to go back at night. You'll love it. Harvest teas through November 21 from 11 and 2 o'clock, 7 days a week. The Dallas Arboretum is open daily 9 until 5 except Thanksgiving and Christmas. The website is dallasarboretum.org, and the phone number for more information, I'm going to the Dallas Arboretum report here, is 214-515-6500. 214-515-6500. Their address is 8525 Garland Road in East Dallas.
If you enjoy my program, it surely would mean a lot to me if you'd let our fine advertisers know, because that's how they're sure that their investment in this program is a good one. It's sponsors like Dixon Brothers in Mesquite, 204 North Galloway, 972-288-7537. On the web, DixonBrothers.com, DICKSON. And Half Price Books. On the web, it's HPB.com, 20 Metroplex locations of Half Price Books.
Tell you about Arborological Services right now. You've heard Steve Barrett a couple of times this morning in Rejoiners, and founded by Steve Hauser and Kevin Bassett. Great people. Arborological Services provides to you the experts that your trees deserve. They have been serving the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex with the very finest in tree care since 1981. They have 12 International Society of Arboriculture certified arborists. They have college degreed plant pathologists, horticulturists, and foresters. And two of their people have been selected as Texas Arborists of the Year. There's only one of all of the tree service specialists in the entire state. There's only one per year. And they have two people who have won that distinction. They are good. Oh, their tree climbing crews have won the Texas State Tree Climbing Championship 21 out of the 31 times it's been held. How could you find a company with any better credentials? I don't think you can. That's why they are the company that does all of my tree work at our home. You can reach Arborological Services online at arborological.com. Arborological.com. The Dallas area number is 972-442-1524. 972-442-1524. The Fort Worth area number is 817-849-1160. 817-849-1160. 817-849-1160. Facebook, Arborological Services, Inc. Twitter, at The Tree Experts. Arborological Services. Go to Tim in Azle. Tim, this is Neil. Good morning. Hello, Tim. All right. No Tim there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Sure can. How can I help you?
Well, this past March, I planted 25 oleanders, and they're both, one's a Turner's Tickled Pink, and the other one's a Turner Tray Boy oleander, and they're from the same greenhouse, and the Turner Tray Boy has a bigger flower and is more red, and they're growing very well. They've probably doubled, maybe even tripled in size since I planted them. But the Turner's Tickled Pink which has a flower almost like a cluster crepe myrtle. They're a smaller flower, mm-hmm. but they both say that they grow 6 to 8 feet tall by 6 feet wide, so I planted them 6 feet apart, and I alternated the colors. The tickled pink, the cluster flowers that look more like a crepe myrtle flower, they're not growing as well as the wider.
All right. What do you think the difference is?
Oh, boy, what is the difference?
What has happened differently in their environment? Is there a difference in how they're being grown?
Well, I alternated them. So one is the darker pink, and then the one's lighter pink to mix up the colors a little bit, because the Turner Tray Boy, they're almost a red.
All right, no, I'm getting all that. I'm just trying to figure out how I can help you. I haven't grown either of those oleanders. I quit growing oleanders in my landscape because they kept freezing on me. That's my problem. I have if you watch a weather map and the weather reports, McKinney, where I garden, typically is one of the colder parts of the Metroplex, and usually 8 or 9 degrees colder than Fort Worth and Dallas inside the loops in those cities. And right. That makes a difference on oleanders. I just have said, not again in this life, not again in this experience I call my landscape. So, but they're wonderful. The Turner family at Turner's Gardenland in Corpus Christi has brought us some wonderful plants. Ted Turner and Ted Jr. have been leaders in the nursery industry. Look up Turner's Gardenland.com and read about these. Maybe there'd be something there that would help you know the specific varieties just a little bit better. But I will tell you that the way that you get an oleander to grow is by putting nitrogen on it, and nitrogen and water. That's all they need to grow. What I don't know is the genetic variation in these two plants. When we start alternating two different varieties of crepe myrtles or oleanders or anything, we're invariably going to have a difference in growth in them, and that's why it's probably better to cluster them in natural groups of three or five of one kind, and then use the other one over there somewhere, because that way you don't have to compare them. They will operate differently, just like three children or five children out of a family will all be different. They're so different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
I should probably wrap them in some mulch this winter, because it says they're cold hardy to 20 degrees.
Yeah, well, we go a lot colder than 20 in the Metroplex. Even in the urban heat pocket, we often go colder than that. So that's my problem with oleanders. I love them. I tried them in College Station when I was growing up, and they froze there, and they have frozen for me in North Texas, both in Farmers Branch and in McKinney. So there are plenty of lovely oleanders. I don't want to discourage anybody from them, because there are plenty of nice ones. I don't know these in terms of their winter hardiness. That scares me when he says 20, because there are some that'll go down to 10.
Yeah. Now the ones that are doing better go down to 10, and they call for zone 8, and then the other ones say 20.
Zone 9.
Zone 9.
Yeah. See, there is a difference in these plants. Look them up on their websites, turnersgardenland.com.
What zone are we in here?
We are in zone 8. We were just put in zone 8 by the USDA in their last remapping about a year ago. I think, and my comment at that point was, okay, that's good to know. I'm not going to trust it. Zone 7 is what I'm going to count, because they moved us by about a county. They moved the zone a couple of counties south. And I thought, or north, I guess. And I thought, that's not quite right. That, you know, we're on the very north end of zone 8. All it's going to take is one below average winter, and we're going to be back in zone 7 again. So I gotta run. But I'd look at turnersgardenland.com, and maybe you can read up on what the difference might be. I think they're just genetically different plants. Tim, I appreciate your call very, very much. Got myself in a bind time-wise there, and it wasn't his fault. He waited patiently for me. Ricardo, you're coming up next. Oh, by the way, we do have an open line, and my longest segment to take calls is coming up right after the news now, 800-288-WBEP. I haven't given that number in a long time. We've had some good calls coming in, but I would like a couple now. 800-288-9227, 800-288-WBAP. Join us for our Home Landscape School. It will be coming up on Saturday, January 26, all day in Plano. And we're going to teach you how to design a landscape improvement project. We're going to give you a lot of great ideas. I'm teaching a lot more of this one than I have in the other 17 years that we've done it. We've kind of revamped it completely. In fact, you will learn principles of good design, the best trees and shrubs, annual and perennial color for Texas, terrific turf grass, because most people consider a lawn, whatever the size it ends up being, to be an important integral part of a good landscape, effective entryways and front gardens, and how to have fun patios and backyards. Design your landscape project to scale. We'll help you with that because we give you a one-on-one consultation with a landscaping professional a couple of weeks later on either Saturday, February 8 or Sunday, February 9 in North Dallas. And you'll work with that landscape professional. You'll end up with a working drawing of your landscape project and the knowledge of how to do more. We give you all the necessary supplies and materials. And the teachers, I'll be teaching Stephen Chambly from the Weatherford, from Shandor Gardens, can't get it out, and Jimmy Turner from the Dallas Arboretum. So we are going to bring you a wonderful all-day event on Saturday, January 26, all day in Plano, and then the consultations are 2 weeks later, February 9 or 10, and all of that for $179 for one person or $219 for two people from the same household. The price will go up by $20 in a few days, so call now. Call before the price rise. This is our early sign-up discount. Use the same number that you used to call for the calendar offer with my magazine, and that number is 800-752-GROW. You must call before 11, 800-752-GROW, 800-752-4769.
Tradition, heritage, experience. 90 years of serving North Texas. News Talk, 820 AM and 96.7 FM, WBAP.
Scoliosis is a painful, disfiguring condition of the spine. Idiopathic scoliosis not only affects children and adolescents, but also adults. The Baylor Scoliosis Center in Plano is a nationally recognized program for the treatment of scoliosis, specializing in advanced treatment for difficult scoliosis and spinal cases in adults and children. It is one of the largest scoliosis centers in the nation. The Baylor Scoliosis Center focuses on both the physical and the emotional effects of scoliosis. Treatments range from observation to bracing to rehabilitation to complex surgeries. Baylor's highly qualified scoliosis team will provide a comprehensive diagnosis of your curvature through a physical examination of the back and extensive testing. Then they'll determine which treatment options are right for you. The Baylor Scoliosis Center is on the Baylor Regional Medical Center at Plano Campus, northeast corner of Preston and George Bush Turnpike. That is where our daughter's life was saved from an unrelated illness, not related to scoliosis. They knew what the problem was. They are our heroes. Baylor, Plano. Baylor Regional Medical Center at Plano. The Baylor Scoliosis Center is in that campus. For more information on the Baylor Scoliosis Center, you need to look them up online at the Baylor Scoliosis Center.com or call them 1-888-781-5558. 888-781-5558. TheBaylorScoliosisCenter.com. Time to check in now with our WBAP 24/7 newsroom, Jerry Overton.
Thank you, Neil. WBAP News Time now 9:35. We've got 44 degrees. Sandy may be turning off the lights for millions in the next few hours. We'll check that right after we check your first weather and traffic, and we'll start with the WBAP Weather In Touch forecast. Sunny, light winds, pleasant today. It's going to be 64 for the high, down to 39 tonight with some possible patchy frost in outlying areas. Sunny and 69 tomorrow for Tuesday, up to 74 degrees. It's mostly sunny, 42 degrees in Fort Worth, 44 degrees in Dallas. And now check the WBAP 24-hour on-time traffic watch.
And the major problem right now is going to be 635 LBJ westbound at Hillcrest. A collision blocks the two left lanes with delays from 75 Central. With the WBAP 24-hour on-time traffic watch, I'm Blaine Brooks.
Well, with Hurricane Sandy packing 75-mile-an-hour winds, power companies up and down the East Coast bracing for service disruptions. Now, David Curley talks about how the preparations are going.
Last year, Irene left 7 million homes without power. So even before Sandy's hurricane winds and rain, Utility crews are out trimming trees, putting equipment in place.
Yeah, it's looking pretty ominous.
Vince Mayone has been with the utility that serves South Jersey, including Atlantic City, for 28 years. He's never seen a storm like this and knows that a lot of his customers are going to lose electricity.
And a tsunami warning for Hawaii, downgraded to an advisory this morning after the first waves were lower than expected. Hawaii Governor Neil Abercrombie, though, says beaches and harbors still closed statewide, the warning triggered by a magnitude 7.7 earthquake just off Canada's west coast. Again, looking for a high today of 64 degrees. It is 44 degrees at DFW Airport. I'm Jerry Overton in the WBAP 24/7 newsroom. We've got more of Neil Sperry's Texas Gardening next on WBAP.
So what does Barack Obama need to do to win this race? What's he doing right? What's he doing wrong? How about Mitt Romney? We'll go to the guy who almost won the race to be the Republican presidential candidate. Rick Santorum joins me live at 9 on Monday night's Chris Crock Show. I can't wait to hear what Santorum thinks about what the strategy in this last week and a half should be and which swing states to watch for. That's Monday at 9 on the Chris Crock Show. It starts every day at 8 on News Talk 820 AM and 96.7 FM WBAP.
Rubles Plants is where Dallas goes for plants, and fall is a great time to plant trees and shrubs. Their pumpkin yard is filled with pumpkins, gourds, hay bales, and scarecrows. They have the biggest mums in the state, which are grown at their farm right here in Dallas. Each one measures up to 22 inches across, and this week only, you can buy two and get one free. Rubles has pansies and violas in a wide variety of shades. Both are great for our cooler weather moving into winter, and violas are a wonderful shade plant. Don't forget Rubles' great gift store at the farmer's market with special discounts for your last-minute Halloween decorations. Open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day of the year. Farmers Market, 601 South Pearl Expressway in Dallas, 214-744-9100. Lakewood, 7219 East Grand, 214-324-4800. And Lemon Avenue, 6630 Lemon Avenue, 469-248-2796. Go to Rubles.com for their fall color chart, then call them and they'll deliver. That's Rubals.com. Rubles Plants, where Dallas goes for plants.
All right, we have a couple of lines open right now. It would be a wonderful time for you to call. I did this about an hour and a half ago, and I'll say it again right now, and that is that this time of year is usually the easiest time to call through. People just they're listening. I've always observed in the ratings when I've gotten them, and it's been many times, that the fall ratings are as good for this program as they are in the spring. But the nature of the calls, people don't call as often. They don't have crises going on, and plus the calls don't take as long, and so we get through a lot of calls in a hurry. The phone number, if you'd like to be a caller, and we'd love to have you as a caller right after Ricardo, is 800-288-WBAP, 800-288-9227. I've known Bill Jensen for more than 40 years, 42 years to be more precise about it. He is the founder and owner of Norway Irrigation in the North Texas area, and I knew Bill initially as a nurseryman. He then founded Norway Irrigation. He wanted to specialize, and specialize is the great operative word here, because nobody will do you a better sprinkler system than Norway Irrigation. From the design to the choice of the products that they are going to install, to the installation, and even to any maintenance that's required, they are the best. Troubleshooting on other people's sprinkler systems, you bet they do that. They have a diagnostic crew that is amazing, and I make it sound like they have crews here and crews there and crews all over the place. One of the things that Bill determined early in his career was that he did not want to have a mega company with 8 million employees. He wanted to keep it small enough that he could manage it and maintain that extreme quality that is so important to him. Norway Irrigation, just the best. They use Weathermatic equipment on their installations for a new sprinkler system or to maintain an existing one, even if it is not one that they installed. You need to call the best. That's Norway Irrigation at 972-446-3292. 972-446-3292. It's NorwayIrrigation.com.
Hi, I'm Fred Marshall from Advanced Foundation Repair. We're proud to have been a part of Neil Sperry's radio program since 1995. And now, once again, here's Neil.
Thank you, Fred, very, very much. And I'm a happy customer of his business as well. We're going now to a longtime friend of mine on the phone from Waxahachie. This is Ricardo. Ricardo, good morning.
Good morning, morning, Neil. How are you?
I am doing well, and you have been so supportive of our family and such a dear friend. I'm going to tell you, two of our boys are doing fun things today. Our two sons, Brian, will be doing the Cowboys game this afternoon. He did the TCU game yesterday. He does stats for those, and so that's going to be cool for him. South Lake Carroll on Thursday night, so he's had a long weekend. And our son Todd, I just heard in the news update, the Hurricane Sandy and all of that. Todd works at CNN as a producer, and he will be producing the on-site stuff from Sandy starting at 1:30 this afternoon. And a lady named Sandy is going to be doing the reports, and Todd will be producing those from Oceanside, Maryland. He's there now. He went this morning. So, Ricardo, say a little prayer for Todd and Sandy.
Come. We'll be in our prayers. That's going to be a monster.
Well, we made him promise last night when Lynn talked to him that he would not be one of those people hanging on to appear.
To demonstrate how bad.
Yes. Oh, I know. He hates that, too. But he's going to be one of their main producers of the election coverage. So I think they'll take good care of Todd. Anyway, how can I help you today?
Okay, I was fortunate to get a good batch of liriope and mondograss. Now, the liriope is a mixture of variegated, the one that has a little white or light-colored stripe along it. And I'm looking at it and deciding how to – would you separate them? Would you alternate them? How would you – what's the best way to cluster it?
All right, let me ask on the variegated one. Are the – I'm trying to get between Silver Dragon and Silvery Sunproof. Silver Dragon has leaves that are roughly the size of mondograss leaves. Silver Dragon has leaves that are almost as wide as, they're wider than a pencil. They're much wider. Which one do you have?
No, they're the normal width. So they
normal for
they
normal
identical,
for
identical side by side, except one has like a lighter colored stripe down the middle.
All right, and when you say normal width of liriope blades.
Yes.
Okay, because I know you know the plants. That Silvery Sunproof is the variety name, and it is neither. It's creamy yellow, and it is not sunproof.
So it
needs to be put in shade, probably a little more shade and a little more organic matter even than regular liriope. I would not put them together. The regular liriope will overtake it.
Okay.
I'd have them in two separate areas.
Okay, and the mondograss, I have also a little bit of mondograss. Would you put that also? So you would basically not, like, encircle them or whatever, but keep them separate.
I'd have them 30 feet from each other, just in different parts of my landscape.
Okay, and I've got a – can I sneak in another question?
Yes, sir, because you've been so nice to me for so long. people don't know all of it, but I told Randy off air a moment ago. I hope it was off air, but I just said Ricardo gave me the nicest call I have, and you hear this every time I talk to you, nicest call I've ever had on the radio out of a third of a million phone calls in 35 years, and I still have it on the iPod. You're right in there with my Vivaldi and Telemann music, and there's Ricardo.
Oh, thank you
yeah.
so much.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, anyway, now I'm all flustered.
That's right.
So what I have Satsuma oranges, and they have been very, very tough and hardy. Sometimes I've neglected to bring them in fast enough and everything like that. Would you put them in the ground? These have been a pretty tough bunch, or would you still keep them in the pots to bring them in?
I don't know that I would trust them outdoors. They need to be in a mobile setting of some sort, unless you had an atrium or something, Ricardo, where they were really, really protected. You know, for example, in San Antonio, the Riverwalk is like a different world. It's a zone warmer than the rest of San Antonio, and so they grow things down there along the river that they can't grow in the rest of the city up above ground, up on normal elevation. It would be that way with Satsumas this far north. They'll make it through some winters. They won't make it through all winters.
Okay, because I have them in pots, and I do bring them in, but I've heard you say that putting them in the ground increases their tolerance to cold, but in this case, it would not apply.
Well, it gives them about 20 degrees more cold tolerance, but we're not talking about that with Satsumas. They can't handle, you know, if you bring them in at 34 degrees because you're scared they might freeze, they're not going to be hardy to 14 degrees because you put them in the ground. They're still going to freeze at 28 degrees. So
This bunch I've accidentally have left out at 20 and 18 degrees.
You're very lucky. Don't count on that regularly.
Okay. All righty.
I love your calls. I love your posts on my Facebook page. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, we go to Blake in Plano. And you know what, Blake, hang on a second. Let me not get myself behind like I did last hour. Blake and Carol, you'll be coming up in just a second with a very good question. So stay with me, if you will, please. The offer is for Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine, the finest garden. Let's see, what is the designation that's been given to us? The best regional gardening magazine in America. The region that we serve is Texas. It is a Texas-based, Texas-only magazine. Every word written by Texas gardening authorities. We've been publishing it for 27 years now, Neil Sperry's Gardens Magazine, the definitive word in Texas horticulture. Now, when you buy a subscription to the magazine today, along with the pre-production offer on my 2013 Texas Gardening Calendar, you can save 38% on the calendar by buying them together. Total price is $36.95 for a one-year subscription to the magazine and our calendar, same price we've had for several years, and it is the best price of the year. The price will never come back to $36.95 again, so call today before 11. I have just turned in all of my work to the design artist, and she in turn will then turn all of that work into the printer tomorrow to start the final production phase of the calendar. More than 10,000 words down at the bottom of each grid each month. It tells you what needs to be planted, pruned, fertilized, and sprayed in your landscape and garden in that month. That's 10,000 words, 60,000 characters, huge amount of information, beautiful calendar, my 30th annual, all of that for $36.95 and $3 postage on the calendar. Satisfaction's guaranteed, but you must call before 11 today. We've brought extra people into the office as we wrap up this offer. It's 1-800-752-GROW, 1-800-752-GROW, the pre-production offer on my calendar, 1-800-752-4769.
Leaves have begun to fall and should be removed from ponds and swimming pools. Dixon Brothers has just what you need, like a new pond vacuum or a pool cleaner. You can also get helpful tips to make your job faster and easier. At Dixon Brothers, you can get all of the fall must-haves, including big top pond nets and sturdy pond shark telescoping nets, Genki fish foods for cooler temperature feeding, aquatic thermometers, and much more. Old Man Winter will be here before too long, so plan ahead and get Dixon Brothers to winterize your pool. Install a freeze guard to protect your equipment from costly freeze damage. Repair or replace any malfunctioning pumps, heaters, or filters. Get winter covers for above-ground pools. They even have solar fish for your pools to extend your swimming season. Dixon Brothers, the Metroplex authority in swimming pool equipment, floating fountains, water gardens, and koi ponds. Visit Dixon Brothers showroom at 204 North Galloway in Mesquite or call 972-288-7537. That's 972-288-7537. D-I-C-K-S-O-N.
Hi, I'm Julie Ferraro, principal at Serenity High in McKinney.
And Rick Shepp.
I'm Stephen Issa.
And Merlene Stockdale.
And Steve Mercer.
We're all teachers at Serenity High in McKinney.
We are in the McKinney School District. We also serve many partnering districts.
Serenity High is for students who are in recovery from drugs and/or alcohol abuse and who are seeking a high school diploma in a sober environment.
Students are able to enter Serenity upon completion of a certified rehab program.
For more information, call Principal Julie at 469-302-7830.
On the web, that's serenityhigh.org.
My greatest joy at Serenity is seeing families and students transform. When they enter, oftentimes they're without hope. When they graduate, they now know they have a future.
One of the most special places I have ever been, Serenity High in McKinney, a very small and nurturing school. SerenityHigh.org is the website. Serenity High partners, McKinney Independent School District partners with, I think it's 14 other ISDs so that their children can attend at no additional charge to the parents. You can see that complete list at SerenityHigh.org. Sunburst Shutters. Maybe you're thinking about getting your house all fixed up for the holidays. This is what we did several years ago at our house. by adding sunburst shutters. It was like a total remodel of the house when they were installed. They're beautiful. Now, these are plantation-style shutters. If you're in a house that you've been in for a few years and you're saying, you know what, this is the window treatments here really kind of don't look so good, sunburst shutters will give you a whole new outlook on life, and that outlook will have fewer lines in the windows if you go with plantation style shutters, 2.5, 3.5, and 4.5 inch louver sizes. By having those larger louvers, you have fewer lines. Sunburst shutters are made of polywood. It's a man-made product that looks like wood, but it doesn't crack or warp or split or peel. It's color fast, either white or off-white, although they can spray them if you need to have them painted. They can do that for you, and they are the best you've ever seen. Every sunburst shutter is custom fit to each opening of your home, so each shutter is designated for a specific window. Their measurements are that precise. Now, sunburst shutters are also available in Austin, San Antonio, Houston, and Waco. Wherever you are, call this number for more information on sunburst shutters. It's their corporate office. It is their Texas-based office, 214-343-2601. That's 214-343-2601. Collins Jones is the chief guy there. Sunburstshutters.com. We love these. Sunburstshutters.com, 214-343-2601. They'll come to your home. And we go back to our phone lines. Now let's go to Blake in Plano. Blake, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning to you. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you very much. How can I help?
Well, I'm converting my yard from Bermuda to St. Augustine just because I feel like it's a little bit more hardy, yet I know that it is. It needs a little bit more water. I saw a special on, what is it, This Old House about thatching a yard because it looked like my yard was getting a lot of dead media underneath the green. And so I was wanting to know, do I need to thatch St. Augustine? And if so, can I use a power rake versus doing all the manual labor of a manual rake?
All right. And how much of this conversion have you begun?
I've done the whole backyard and about half of the front.
All right. Let me explain the difference in how grasses grow. And I did not see that episode of This Old House, so I don't know what kind of lawn that they were working with. But a lot of the national programs are looking at bluegrass lawns.
Bluegrass.
All right. Bluegrass does not produce runners. It is strictly a clump-forming grass, and so there are no runners. Our southern warm-season lawn grasses do produce runners. That's how they spread. With bluegrass, you have to overseed periodically to get new plants to come up. There's no way it spreads within the lawn. Same with fescue. All right, so now on to our warm-season grasses, Bermuda and St. Augustine. They produce runners. St. Augustine produces runners only above ground. Bermuda has runners above and below ground. They're called stolons if they're above ground, and rhizomes if they're below ground. The problem with dethatching or power raking St. Augustine is you'll tear the runners up, and there's nothing left down under the ground like there would be with Bermuda. That's precisely why with St. Augustine, if you have St. Augustine at the Texas State Fair, by the end of the State Fair, you don't have any turf. With Bermuda, the people can beat it to a pulp and you have bare ground, but there's something down there to come back once they aerate it to get rid of some of that compaction. They have turf again, and that's the difference in the grasses. I prefer St. Augustine. I will tell you, like a lot of my other friends, it has its issues. And so I've kind of learned to cope with chinch bugs that Bermuda grass normally doesn't have. And I've coped with brown patch, which Bermuda grass doesn't normally have, and a couple other problems. I prefer it because I don't think it gives me the allergies that the Bermuda does. And it will grow in a little more shade, although it still has to have 5 or 6 hours of sunlight. But all of that said, you do not want to dethatch it. You'd tear it up. Okay. Long answer to the punchline, wasn't it?
No, I appreciate it at all. Thank you.
You bet. I'm glad you called. All right, let's go to Carol in Long Grove, Oklahoma, near Ardmore. Carol, this is Neil. Good morning.
Good morning. You just answered the question I have. I
the dirt is so dry up here in Long Grove, Oklahoma, and Bermuda and St. Augustine, you were saying. Can you mix them?
Yeah, you can mix them, but they won't stay mixed very long. St. Augustine is the trump card. It dominates over Bermuda. Now, in Oklahoma, you are not very far north of the Red River, but when you get into Oklahoma, you begin to get to a point where St. Augustine will freeze. And so there's a question of whether it'll make it through all of your winters in Ardmore or not. Probably, or in Long Grove, probably it will make it through most of them, but you don't go very far into Oklahoma before you have to give out on St. Augustine. And it's difficult if you have a lot of shade and St. Augustine freezes and it's too hot and dry for fescue to grow, and you say, well, what's left? And there isn't much left. So, you know, I think what I would do is ask some of the local nurserymen, or make a quick call to Noble Foundation and ask their horticulture section how well could I count on St. Augustine to grow for me here. I gave a talk at the Noble Foundation a couple of years ago, and I looked very closely at the plants that were around Ardmore, and by and large, it looks like most of the Metroplex that I'm familiar with. Most of my work is in Texas. You guys are just barely north of Texas, so it's pretty comfortable talking.
Yeah.
But I would be just a little cautious on the St. Augustine. If it does grow, it will crowd out Bermuda. Make sure you want to have St. Augustine before you give up on the Bermuda.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Carol, I'm glad you called. Have a great day. The Noble Foundation in Ardmore, Oklahoma is amazing. The story of what they have done, what they have given back to the state of Oklahoma and to Texas, but especially Oklahoma. When you hear about the Noble Center and all of that, the Noble Foundation deserves that credit. Folks, I need some calls. I'm out of calls now. Got an hour to go. Right now is your time to call 800-288-WBAP. Call me now. We'll be back.